Good evening to all of our teleseminar participants, and thank you for joining us for another very special teleseminar brought to you each month at this time. This is your host, Carol Kepler, for this unique teleseries where you will get some real answers to some of your most pressing concerns. How do we know? Because you ask the questions. Welcome to Ask the Experts. Our question is, what is your most pressing concern about heart health without drugs or surgery? Our expert online from Richmond, Virginia, is Dr. Sandra McGlanahan, and a very special guest she is. Welcome to the show, Dr. McGlanahan.
I hope you can hear me now, Carol.
Oh, yes, I can.
Thank you
so very much. Okay, I have a list of questions for you tonight that are all about heart health, with an emphasis on the use of natural means. And you are very uniquely qualified to answer these questions. Would you say that that was true?
Well, I was fortunate enough to begin looking at the relationship of lifestyle to heart disease in 1974. And after that, I managed to conduct research with Dr. Dean Ornish to show that heart disease could be prevented and reversed. So it's very exciting to see what people can do to help keep their hearts healthy.
And you have done other things, too. I think that your book on surgery and its alternatives actually has a wonderful section on heart.
Yes, I wrote this with my brother, who's a surgeon, and we wrote it together. It covers prevention and treatment. And so it's written for the lay people so that they can understand and have access to the latest information.
And I like that book because even though it's thick and it looks rather, it probably might put some people off because it looks like it has so much, it does have a lot of information in it. But what I like about it is it's so readable. And I think that your section on the heart, in fact, on all of the sections that you have there, really do help people stay out of the hospital.
Well, we worked very hard to make it readable and to have all of the different things that people themselves can do to help with their own health and healing.
And you have a new book coming up, too?
There's a book out called Dr. Yoga, which I helped to write. And that's a book about stories about people who've used a natural approach, and it has a significant section in it on heart disease, so people can use that book as well.
Well, I thank you so much for sharing all of that with us, and so let's get started. Our first question, and we had quite a few. Actually, there's one question that I'm going to save till the end. It was one of the first questions that came in, but it's a really good final question for us, so I'm going to save that one. So let's start with the one that says, I'm a vegan with severe MCS and candida. Now, you're going to have to tell me what MCS is.
Myocardial syndrome.
Okay.
So that might be related to mitral valve prolapse or a problem with the valves or other problems that might have ramifications on cardiac function.
And this person goes on to say she also, I can't say she because I don't have a name here, this person also has extreme food allergies, adrenal exhaustion, along with an autoimmune disease and a few other illnesses. My environmental doctor told me I have a very high insulin level coupled with a dangerously low level of good cholesterol. What steps can I take to prevent future problems with my heart?
Well, it's good to pay attention. If the root cause is mitral valve prolapse, it occurs in about 1 out of every 3 people. It's a little flapping of the mitral valve, which allows some blood to pass back into the heart chamber. It's usually not symptomatic, so that means that people walk around without any particular symptoms, but stress can make symptoms appear. And over time, if there's a particular insult to the body, such as infection or dental work or so forth, the mitral valve can become involved with disease, and so it needs to be protected before and after dental work, for example. But the most important thing is to realize that even if there's a problem with insulin sensitivity and allergies and the immune system, that Lifestyle can make a huge difference. That's the exciting thing. But the most important approach is a plant-based diet, which means the new four food groups, which are based on science. The old four food groups that we thought growing up were healthy turned out to be simply advertising. They were invented by General Mills to sell cereal. So, the new four food groups are whole fresh fruit, at least 5 to 7 servings a day, whole fresh vegetables, 5 to 7 servings, whole grains, 2 to 3 servings, and for protein, beans, peas, lentils, dal, soy products, and so forth. And those new four food groups are described in my book, and people can start to make choices along those lines. 2 to 3 servings of the protein group is the most healthful. This will make the good cholesterol come up. Exercise also increases good cholesterol. But the most important thing is that you don't need to worry that much about your HDL or good cholesterol if your LDL isn't too high. And this diet will naturally get your LDL to be lower.
Now, that rather falls into a question that's quite a ways down on our list. And then I just want to go back to this first question. But we have someone who said, is there a better diet for the heart? And I think you've just said that.
It's also important to avoid caffeine because she mentions adrenal exhaustion and food allergies, and to avoid refined foods. That means no white flour, no white sugar, no foods with those things in them, and no fruit juices, just whole fresh fruit, and no dried fruit.
Wow.
Just whole fresh fruit.
Mm-hmm. Something I thought was very interesting about this person, we deal with people who have multiple health challenges like this person has, and we have found that they often have tried a lot of different things and don't get well. They've tried herbs and homeopathics and diets and all kinds of therapies, and they don't get well. They have rather a very sensitive body type. Have you come across anything
like
that? Yes,
and that's where your products can really make a difference, because they can work on all organ systems. So the LiquiHealth formulas can be specifically designed for individuals, but they also can be designed in general to clean up the body.
And it is helpful to people who have this many different kinds of symptoms. You don't hardly know where to begin to work.
Well, it's exciting that we saw in our research, Dr. Ornish and I, that as soon as somebody starts to move in the direction of a healthy lifestyle, a lot of the other symptoms just fall away of their own accord. It is important to emphasize that it's not just diet, that it's also exercise. And then the stress needs to be addressed, because it's hard to stay on a healthy lifestyle without dealing with the stress. So that's where daily yoga comes in and group support.
That's an amazing lot of information, but it's very simple. I like that. Let's go back to the person who asked about the better diet that you've already gotten into. And the rest of the question here was, I'd like to try to change my family's eating habits from the standard American diet we're on. How difficult is that for a young family?
Well, I think it's important to realize that it's not as hard as you think, that once you get into the pace and the rhythm of only eating foods as they come from nature, say God-made foods rather than human-made foods, it becomes simple. You fill yourself with that, and your tastes tend to change, and that's very exciting. And you can use the book that I put together as a reference guide. There are a couple of other books that I do recommend. One is called The Rave Diet. It's very easy to read, and it comes with a DVD that explains and has interviews with patients describing their benefits. And then there's a video that people can purchase from veganmd.com. It's a great introduction by a very humorous doctor who talks about food and then takes you through the supermarket and shows you what to buy and then how to cook it.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
It is fun.
Okay. And so I would say with that one, with the young family, it's going to be a whole lot easier than with starting with teenagers.
Well, you know, you have to be sort of psychologically awake with teenagers and with young children too, and just kind of try to involve them in the process. Take them to the supermarket and say, okay, you can choose what whole foods, as long as within these guidelines you can choose which of the foods you like. And just try to make it fun for them too.
And isn't that a good way to do it, to get the children involved? Actually, when they're older, you could have them do the cooking. Actually go in and find the foods and learn which ones are the best and then come home and cook them.
I think that's a great idea to have them involved too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's one. How much and what kind of a heart problem is it to have swollen and blue and black veins and red feet with an 89 resting pulse? What do you mean with that one?
I think that person should be evaluated by a doctor, and a conventional doctor to start with, because that's one of the ways they can get a diagnosis. And then they can always use integrative medicine practitioners, alternative practitioners, for a second and third opinion. But I think it's important to use our Western science to diagnose things. It's very efficient that way. Because the cause could be many things. It might be heart, it might be circulation in general, it might be liver, it might be kidneys. You really need to have some tests to find out. But I would say that for this person, they should start on the RAVE diet. They should start on exercising. And yes, it is a sign that the circulation is not as efficient as it should be.
Would you tell us what the RAVE diet is?
The RAVE diet, the RAVE is an acronym, which means no refined foods, and it details it's not just the regular four food groups, but it gives a little more detail about exactly what to do, that you avoid refined foods, that you have the new four food groups, that you include exercise in your lifestyle.
All common sense.
All common sense.
And isn't that what health is all about? Okay. Did we get finished with that one?
I just think people should not be discouraged.
Or frightened.
When a symptom develops, you can reverse it. What's exciting is that we showed that you can make your heart healthy again, and that it's really worth taking the steps to do that.
And you mentioned integrative and complementary medicine, I believe. You are a doctor of integrative medicine.
Using the best of the conventional approaches. Mostly medical school in this country is drugs and surgery school.
Yes.
So there's not much taught about nutrition and lifestyle, but it's coming along. More medical schools are becoming open to this and looking into it. It's something that I've focused on in my own research and working with Dr. Ornish. So it's been exciting. Over the last 30 years, we've really seen the benefits of these kinds of choices, and there is science to support them now.
And there's still a lot of drugs, so let's go to this one, that's what you just mentioned. Here's one that says, what is your opinion of drugs for heart problems? I've read all of Dr. Batman Galich's books that say that organ malfunction, in this case it would be the heart, often has to do with cellular dehydration and the need to drink 2 quarts of water a day. Would this be helpful to me, and could it hurt?
I think in general, most Americans don't drink enough water, so trying to add more water to your lifestyle is important, and really I think the Liqui Health program is a great way to do that, because it helps remind you to drink water all day long.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's not really enough to drink water. It certainly helps, and you can overdo it even with water, especially if your kidneys are a little sluggish and so forth. You could overdo it. So I think the balance point is to look at all the aspects of your lifestyle, not just one aspect, drinking water.
So definitely that would be a part of getting well no matter what your health challenge was.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You need to look at your exercise program, relaxation and stress, diet and supplements, and then emotions as well, stress and stress in general, love relationships, all of those things have a really important part of our health.
And so the very first part of that question was, what is your opinion of drugs for heart problems? What kind of drugs would people be taking? And you know, how dangerous are they? How good are they? What do you get on that?
Well, the problem with using drugs and surgery as the general way of approaching disease in our culture is that they both have side effects. And when you have them, they aren't just side effects, they're effects. So you pay a price. Yes, there are benefits, and there are sometimes when these things are absolutely essential. But what's exciting, again, about the Ornish program for reversing heart disease is that we were able to take people off of most of their medications. About 90 to 95% of people were able to be absolutely medication-free.
Wow. Tell me, what did Dean Ornish say? What was his program?
Well, the program consists of four components. It is the low-fat, high-fiber vegetarian diet, whole foods diet, avoiding refined foods is step number one. 1.5 hours of yoga per day is step number two. So it's stretching, breathing, deep relaxation, meditation, and visualization. And that's really fun. It's a fun thing to add to your life.
Now, there are different types of yoga. Is that the thing?
This is gentle yoga we're talking about, what's called gentle or restorative yoga, not the power yoga or anything.
Okay. I just wondered.
And then the third component is an hour of walking 3 to 5 times a week. And start out slowly, especially if you have disease, but working up to that. And then the fourth component is group support, because it's really important to try to have other people who understand what you're going through, and you can help them and they can help you. And that's very important to stay on a healthy lifestyle.
Okay, I think you answered that one very thoroughly. You mentioned love, and I know there's one of these, here we go, there's one of these questions I saw on that one. Here it says, I'm in my 50s and I'm having uncomfortable feelings in my heart. Although heart problems don't run in my family, I personally had a lot of hurt and heartbreak in my life. Could that cause heart problems, and is there anything that can be done for this type of a heart problem?
Oh, absolutely. That's an important center point in most heart disease, has some relationship to emotions and emotional choices that we make in our lives. Even the fact that we may not eat a diet that we even know is healthy if we're heartbroken. Mm-hmm. But heartbreak itself changes the hormone balance, increases adrenaline, increases cortisol, changes the amount of serotonin and dopamine in the brain. So when we're under stress, it changes our chemistry and our physiology in negative ways that put strain on the heart. And there's a wonderful book, a new book called The Heart Speaks by Mimi Guarnieri. She's at San Diego at the Scripps Center. And she tells her story of having a cholesterol herself. She's a cardiologist, but her cholesterol was over 300. She was under a lot of stress. She met Dr. Ornish and put herself on the Ornish program because she realized she needed it. Her cholesterol is now running around 99.
Oh.
And she feels the enormous benefit of being on the program. So she wrote this wonderful book that everyone with heart disease ought to read about her own experience and what she learned about the relationship of emotions to health. Particularly the emotion that's especially hard on the heart is anger. So if we get heartbroken and we get angry, that puts the most strain on our hearts. So learning to find another path in our lives than anger, which is compassion and love, protects the heart and makes us feel better, and both physically, mentally, and spiritually as well, even. So what I recommend people to do is work on substituting compassion when they feel frustration, tension, and anger, And remember a great phrase that is, anger, it's this is the proverb that says, anger is when you take poison hoping it'll hurt someone else.
Very good.
When we get angry.
And it does. It becomes poison in your body, does it not?
Yes, it does. And when we get angry, we hold the breath. And when we hold the breath, we impair the lymph flow around the heart. As Dr. Gerald Lamolle has done research of the relationship of good lymph flow and prevention of heart disease. So keeping our emotions in a good avenue really helps protect our body's physiology.
That was a good one. Whoa. Okay, here is another. I find myself, when under stress, and then in parentheses it says I'm a teacher, unable to sleep without propping myself up with my pillows in order to breathe at night. Am I in trouble? I haven't gone to the doctor because I don't want to go on meds.
Well, I think it's admirable not to want to go on medication, and that's why I would certainly encourage you to look around for a doctor associated with Dr. Ornish, there are many of them, or a lifestyle-oriented integrative medicine doctor. But even so, if you can't find one of those, you ought to be checked out by a conventional doctor to get a diagnosis. Once again, the cause of this may be heart disease, but it may be other things as well. So you definitely, it's a sign that you need to go get checked out.
If a person, this is my question, if a person once does get on meds, like this gal that, I don't know if it's a gal, I'm assuming, this person who can't sleep at night, if a person does go on heart meds, can they ever get off?
Oh, yes, and that's one of the things we discovered in our research was that many people who had been on heart medications like high blood pressure medicines, for example, we had to lower their medication because they started getting more side effects from their drugs, and they needed lower doses.
Oh, that's so good to know.
Yeah, so their blood pressure was getting too low, for example. So, yes, we needed to lower their medication.
And so a good idea would be to look up the side effects of the drugs, of overdosing on your drugs in the physician's desk reference or the pill book.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, just to caution your physician that you're starting on a program and that you may need less medication than the next
that's
person.
That's a good idea.
And it usually, the exciting thing about this program, too, is that within a few days of starting it, your body starts to repair itself, starts to do better repair work. So that's wonderful, too. And I think, I have a section in my book called How to Get a Good Night's Sleep. And about 75% of Americans don't get enough sleep. We really need to practice better sleep habits.
That helps the heart.
Yes. The shorter number of hours of sleep you get, the more you risk for heart disease. And for depression, too. And depression is strongly related to heart disease as well.
Oh, you're bringing up all kinds of new ideas that I haven't heard. Very, very good. Here's one. My husband has a problem. Oh, it's drugs. Listen to this. My husband has a problem with his new physician, with what his new physician says is congestive heart failure. He believes it was caused by 10 years of being on the drug Lupron, which is about to be changed to another medication. Can this damage be reversed?
Well, it's not very likely that the Lupron caused the damage. I would say that it's probably the underlying diet and lifestyle choices that this person is making that cause the damage. Lupron is a medication often used for prostate cancer, and it suppresses testosterone. High testosterone levels increase risk for heart disease. So in a way, the Lupron may have been almost protecting him a little bit. But I think the underlying lifestyle that leads to prostate cancer is the same underlying lifestyle that leads to heart disease. High fat diet, and not enough exercise, particularly the red meats, are strongly associated with prostate cancer and with heart disease.
Hmm.
So switching over to a vegetarian diet can help with both. And Dr. Ornish published a research article last fall which showed that putting people on the same program, which is in his book, Dr. Dean Ornish's program for reversing heart disease, is the same program for prostate cancer showed that it could reverse prostate cancer. So it's the same sort of program.
That's amazing.
Now, why one person with a bad lifestyle will get heart attack and the next person will get prostate cancer is probably related to the way we hold emotions in our body and the effects of those emotions on the immune system.
And so, and perhaps even what is a weakness in your family, that might be another.
Is, to some extent, yes, mm-hmm. but those weaknesses in the family don't show up except in terms of your lifestyle in general. About 95% of illness is lifestyle choices as opposed to genetic inevitability. They showed this in twin studies, that even though you have the same genes, they don't necessarily express themselves except according to your lifestyle choices.
Let's go back to the drug Lupron. Are there any medications that don't have negative side effects?
Well, certainly, especially with a strong medication that would be used to suppress testosterone, you're likely to get some side effects. But what's exciting, again, and just to reassure this person, is that within a few days of starting the Ornish program, which is the same as the RAVE diet program and the same as the one in the book that I wrote, Surgery and Its Alternatives, this healthy lifestyle is going to start to allow the body to repair itself.
Okay, and is there any, we know that the drugs are toxic. Is there any way to reverse the toxicity of a drug?
Well, the first thing is to make the healthy lifestyle choices, which keep your liver clear enough and clean enough. Your circulation becomes more optimum. The body can do repair work.
Yes.
And this is also where the Liqui Health formulas that you provide can help a lot because they can really help detox the body.
That's true. There are things that can get in there and do the cleanup afterward. And so once the cells are cleansed, then they can start the self-repair process. And I think that's what even diet is all about.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That the minute we start eating healthfully, the body starts to do better repair. And even one single excessive fatty meal or sugary meal, the body has to recover from that, as opposed to a healthy meal, which helps the body to recover.
Okay, here's, and I can remember a little bit about the background of this question. It said, some years ago I read a small book about chlorine causing heart problems, and I'm thinking the book was Chlorine, Cholesterol, and Coronaries, if I remember correctly. And this person says, we've always used tap water for drinking and cooking. Do you think that could be a problem down the road? What symptoms would warn us?
Well, the research on chlorine and also the research on fluoride, both of which, you're adding a heavy, active, significant mineral to the body over time. And not really good research has been done on either of these elements because it requires a lot of money and effort to do that. And certainly the chlorine helped to prevent some of the really horrible infectious diseases, but we may have paid a price in terms of other diseases down the road.
Don't we always?
It tends to be that way if you just look at one variable instead of all the other factors, and especially over some things don't show up for 15 or 20 years. Fosamax, for example, has been promoted to help increase bone. Well, it turns out that about 5 to 10 years down the road, that bone which has been made may be more brittle than the bone you started with. So that's the newest kind of frightening thing that you read in the medical journals now, is that we're faced with the possibility that that bone that's being made by, or encouraged to be made by Fosamax may in fact get you in a worse situation. So that's just being evaluated now.
And I just saw recently in the newspaper that some lawyers have taken on a class action suit against the Fosamax, and they're asking if anyone has had those problems to get hold of them. So that's pretty new, isn't it?
Yes, and you know, I think we ought to just generally have the view that there are natural ways that we can prevent and reverse osteoporosis, to prevent and reverse heart disease. Let's use those approaches rather than these other ones where the drugs turn out to create more problems down the road, like Vioxx, for example, and even Celebrex.
All of these, you're right, and eventually maybe all of them will come around and all of them have
side effects.
Terrible thoughts.
I think the lipid-lowering drugs, Lipitor, Zocor, and so forth, I think we're at a big risk down the road of the effects these will have on the immune system.
So do you use drugs at all in your practice?
They can be sometimes temporarily helpful.
That's a good
while point. A person is making a transition to a healthy lifestyle, they might be absolutely needed, but I really recommend trying the natural approaches as well. Because even if you go on a drug, you're still going to be faced with the side effects of a bad lifestyle for other systems
of
the body. So in any case, you need to pay attention to lifestyle, and that's tough to do, but it's really worth it.
And that's really the bottom line, isn't it?
Well, you know, like any other habit, the more you put the good stuff in, the more the other stuff leaves. So the point is to focus on what's healthy and get excited about that.
And I would just want to go back for a moment to chlorine. I'm thinking about that little book again, Chlorine, Cholesterol, and Coronaries. And if I remember correctly, the research that was done on that that was put into that book was about the chlorine. When chlorine was put in the water, that's when they noticed the coronaries were there were more people with coronaries, and they researched and found that it was roughing up the insides of the veins and arteries, and so that and so that the cholesterol was actually sticking that normally would slide through. Is that fascinating?
Well, I think it's a quite important thing to look into, and I hope someday it's studied more carefully. There are a lot of things that were introduced. Heart disease was relatively rare in the beginning of the 1900s, and then a lot of things came together to introduce heart disease as this huge epidemic that we have. Meat every meal was one of them. Processed dairy foods were another, pasteurized dairy foods. More dense foods in general, more food in general per se. When they had to restrict meat and dairy during World War II in Denmark, the heart disease rate went almost down to zero, even under stressful times. And then as soon as they reintroduced the meat and dairy after, because the Germans had taken it away, they didn't allow it. They were taking all the animal products to Germany. And so it was rationed. And so then and when it was reintroduced after the war, their heart disease rate went right back up to where it was. So this is a very toxic thing, our diet, and we need to pay attention to it. But there are other toxic elements, the introduction of the automobile, the introduction of electricity where we kept up late at night, not getting enough sleep, and restorative sleep is so important. There are a lot of different factors, the breakdown of the American family, not enough love and support, paying attention to things that make us sedentary, like watching television and so forth.
They're all good. Everything that you said really strikes a note because people don't think about those things. They are so unnatural.
Well, we at least ought to have a television that is run by walking on a treadmill.
I knew what you were going to say.
We could devise things like that, and they are devising some for children that encourage them to bike ride and watch TV at the same time.
I love it. It saves electricity, too, I think. And your mention of electric, I see another question here about that one. It says, is it true that everyday electric can damage the heart? I worked as a nurse in a hospital setting for 17 years around a lot of electrical equipment. My question is, how do you know if the heart is affected, and can it be reversed, I hope?
Well, once again, the subtle energies haven't been studied that much, and I hope there will be more in the future. But that's where your products can be very helpful. The LiquiHealth formulas can individualize and reverse the effects of these electrical fields. But I do think that certainly our emotions are affected by these things. Just getting outdoors and getting in the fresh air every day can be such a huge blessing that we just don't seem to take advantage of as a culture. So once again, we can kind of think of ways to program that more into our lives.
You know, you're right. As a health intuitive, we've discovered as we scan body energies, so many people have inflamed hearts. And it was Dr. Paul Ridker from Brigham and Women's Hospital, I believe. I think it's in Boston. I'm not sure. He did there was an article written about his research in Time Magazine probably about 2 years ago, I think February in 2004. And he was saying that that there were things triggered, I think, cytokines to be dumped into the system, which are very acidic. And one of the things that it did is immediately inflamed the heart, and that heart is often not felt, that inflammation is not felt, and therefore he called it a silent killer. Do you remember that research? Did you see that?
Yes, there's a strong relationship of inflammation in general to heart disease. But at the same time, we have to remember that it's also our diet can influence inflammation, and our resistance to inflammation is affected by our emotions. So all of these things together play a role. And fortunately, we can make more healthful choices in terms of food, make more healthful choices in terms of lifestyle and emotions and sleep and rejuvenation and love and service. And it turns out altruists live longer, optimists live longer, or maybe it's just optimistic researchers who think optimists live longer.
I think that's probably true.
But I think laughter is a great medicine, and we need more of it in our lives. There are many ways in which we can help our hearts and our bodies to be more healthy.
And going back to the thought of electric as being something quite new, and research hasn't really been done on it to see what kind of damage it could do to the body. And what we're getting in our intuitive research is that the cells accumulate electric on an ongoing basis, just the same way they accumulate toxins. And so you can accumulate over a period of time and all of a sudden hit critical mass and have a problem then.
Well, I think that's true of inflammation too, and that's certainly true of cholesterol in your arteries. So all of these things can contribute to being silent killers.
Mm.
And we need to act preventively, because a stitch in time is certainly worth a lot of thread in terms of the heart disease.
Would you know of anything specifically? You mentioned the LiquiHealth formulas, and this is true. They do neutralize electric at multiple levels. Is there any other way to clear electric if people didn't know or have access to energy medicine? Is there any way that you know of, or is there anyone who even treats electric? Do they know about it?
I think in general, you can say that anything that gets you more in touch with nature will help with this buildup of electrical disorganization, is what you might call it. So saunas, mud packs, just lying in the grass, eating healthy foods as close to nature as possible. If you eat a strawberry right from a strawberry plant, it tastes completely differently than the strawberries you buy in the store.
That's the truth.
So gardening, being out in the garden, growing your own food, sitting in the sunshine. When you sit in the sunshine, you actually increase ATP in your muscles. So your muscles are stronger after some time in the sun. So we all need some time in the sun every day to help ourselves get healthy.
You were mentioning all of these natural things. I think I heard a long time ago when I worked with herbs that sea salt baths, sea salt soaks would do a low level of electric. We thought, we used to think it did all of the electric, but I think that it only does the lower levels.
I think that's great. Sea salt itself. We all came from the sea, the sea and the sun and the rain, and we need to stay in touch with those natural elements. It really helps us relax.
Okay.
And massage. Massage in general will encourage circulation, and then the body can do better repair work.
Okay, here is someone who is asking about exercise. Can I exercise if I've had heart palpitations, and what type would be best? I know what you're going to say.
Well, both types of exercise. We definitely need the regular type of cardiac and strength training exercise. So I do recommend people do at least a half an hour of walking, hopefully an hour of walking every day, and then 2 to 3 times a week do some strength training, which means weightlifting or working out with the machines to strengthen all the different muscle groups. Or work and do what I called, servicize. Do some exercise and do some service at the same time. You know, go out and work for Habitat for Humanity or something like that. Then you get your altruistic component, mm-hmm. your optimistic component, your strength training component, and your social support component. So that's, I think, the wave of the future. But we also need to stretch and breathe and relax, and that's where yoga comes in, Tai Chi, things like that that can really work on all the systems of the body to assist them to do repair work.
Now, this person specifically said that they had heart palpitations, and so I think that is what might frighten someone. What do you think?
A person should be gentle, go less than they think any symptom will appear. So in the beginning, be super gentle. But certainly the nice thing is that often the palpitations reverse themselves if you eliminate caffeine and sugar completely. So I would say don't even drink decaf. Drink chamomile tea, which is soothing to the nervous system, or chamomile lavender. They have a tea that has lavender and chamomile that's even more relaxing to the nervous system.
And then have to drink coffee?
Use a coffee substitute like Roma, which you can buy in the health food store that looks and tastes like coffee. But don't use caffeine and don't use decaf.
And it's hard to get off.
And don't use sugar or any kind of refined sweetener or white flour because that will throw off the blood sugar and contribute to the possibility of palpitations with changes in blood sugar.
Oh, that's interesting. Here's one. Heart disease runs in my family. And now that I'm in my 30s and with 2 young children, I'm concerned and would like to prevent this from happening to me. I'd appreciate any suggestions.
Well, that's a great question because, as I said, what we discovered from our research and has been backed up from my other research is that 95% of heart disease and other degenerative diseases are not related to your genetic structure per se, but they are related to your lifestyle choices. So even if you have a history in your family of these diseases, they may not be expressed if you make a healthy commitment to a healthy lifestyle. And that includes the 4 elements, which are diet, exercise, relaxation, and social support.
And so this person who is in their 30s, they really will be working on preventive medicine.
Absolutely, and that's where your formulas also come into play because oftentimes if you can get multiple organ systems to be healthy, then you've got extra protection and backup. Say if your lymph is flowing well, then your body can do better repair work even when you're under stress. So all of these things are strongly important for prevention.
And so how wonderful for this person to be thinking about it in his or her 30s, and be able to teach this to their children.
Well, that's it. And even, children take after their parents, do as I do, not as I say.
Absolutely.
Even if a parent says what the child should do, the child is basically going to look at what the parent's doing. So that's where we have the exciting possibility that we can make a difference in the world just by every action that we take. It resonates out to the edge of the universe.
And that's a beautiful thought.
6 degrees of separation. We're all related to one another. So every choice we make affects everybody else on the planet.
And here, to the at the opposite end of the spectrum, here that was a young family. This one is, it says, my mother is 79 years old and has had shortness of breath and pains in her heart for years. She's using capsicum and also hawthorn extract with good results. She won't do drugs. Oh, here's another one. Is there anything else that would be helpful?
Well, I think those things are appropriate choices. Capsicum encourages circulation, and that's a good thing. It allows the body to do better repair work. Hawthorn is strengthening to the heart. But I think we need to get at the underlying root of the problem,
which is
once again, lifestyle choices. So a look at the diet, exercise, relaxation and stress, and social support, looking at all those components. And I would encourage her to read Dr. Ornish's book on reversing heart disease. It's a great introduction for people with details of the program.
And I notice that people who have used herbs, because I originally worked with herbs for 10 or 12 years before we started working with the energy medicine, what I notice is that you have to keep on taking the herbs or else you don't get the result. In other words, they support the system. Seems to me they are supporting of the system, but they never get at root cause. They never, maybe it's they don't have high enough frequencies to get at the root cause. And therefore, you have to keep on taking them or else you're going to have the same results of symptoms, symptomatic all over again.
That's a very important point. We don't get sick because we don't take hawthorn. We get sick because of the way we live our lives. And unless we address that component, even the herbs, which are more natural, can't really reverse and cure the disease.
So, but they will support and make you feel
better. They can support and they can help the body. They can assist the body, yes.
Now, there is a difference between getting well and feeling better. Do you want to address that?
Well, once again, I think a symptom is an important friend. A symptom is a friend to us because it's pointing in whatever direction we need to do work.
That's like pain.
Yes. So pain is our friend.
Mm-hmm.
Pain is really a message that we're going in the wrong direction. And we need to adjust our course. And what's exciting is that we can do that. And we can use pain and we can use symptoms to help us make corrections in our lives.
So this person needs to go on beyond the capsicum and hawthorn, and diet would be one way to do that. Lifestyle changes, as you have mentioned, and perhaps look at something like energy medicine that would have frequencies that would be beyond the herbal frequency in order
yes.
to get at root cause.
Absolutely.
I think I see that. Okay, we have a couple more questions here. This one is fish oil. Is fish oil as effective as aspirin in preventing heart attacks?
Well,
this
is a really good question. We certainly, aspirin decreases risk for heart attack in men and decreases risk. Right,
only
men.
Mm-hmm.
Decreases risk for stroke in women. But it increases risk for breast cancer in women, and it doesn't increase risk for stroke in men. So it's a little confusing, but those are the latest. You pay a price when you take a drug, even aspirin, because it increases risk for ulcer and gastrointestinal bleeding and bleeding in general. So fish oil does the same thing in terms of increasing circulation to the body, but especially fish oil in large doses may increase risk for bleeding. It does decrease risk for inflammation, and certainly eating fish is a better choice than eating red meat or chicken, which are both higher in saturated fats than fish is.
Or aspirin.
So, yeah, so it's going in the right direction to substitute fish for red meat. But even better is to use brown rice and beans, which will give you optimum circulation, optimum phytonutrients, and none of the dense, cloggy fats that will clog up the arteries and increase risk not only for heart disease but for the major cancers as well.
And they are now being very concerned, and they're saying for pregnant women, but I think everyone needs to be concerned because of the mercury in fish.
Absolutely. And even if you're eating organic fish, you're still getting a fair amount of that dense, cloggy stuff called cholesterol. Fish have cholesterol in them, and it's more than you'll get in a plant-based diet. So that the liver makes plenty of cholesterol. You don't need to eat it from your food. And if you eat it, what's the body going to do? It's going to store it around the body, and it's going to interfere with circulation.
Okay. Here's a question that was the very first question that we had, and I want to ask it now. How can the heart be kept healthy or heal immediate, daily, and long-term? How do you like that question? That's kind of sums up everything.
Well, I'll just start out by saying that even if you're in the midst of a heart attack, which happened to a friend of mine who'd kind of slipped from a vegetarian diet, he realized he was having a heart attack, and he started to do yoga deep relaxation. And he just stayed in the yoga deep relaxation all while the helicopter came, while they got him to the intensive care unit. And he managed to survive with a very small amount of damage to the heart. So in terms of immediate benefits, learning yoga and learning deep relaxation and meditation can be enormously helpful, even if you don't do anything else. The next thing is that right away, your next meal from now can be better. And that's what we ought to think, is that there's a great poem by the mystical poet Rumi. He says, so you fell down 3,000 times. Get up, get up. So you've fallen down in the past. Doesn't matter. Next step. What's the next step?
Very good.
And to let go of negative emotions is very important, because about half of heart attacks, there's a significant anger episode within 48 hours of the heart attack.
That's
so the next time you find yourself becoming angry, just walk away. It's not worth losing your health for somebody else's choices.
Absolutely.
So you have a choice. You have a responsibility, an ability to respond. That's your responsibility. You don't. Nothing can make us have negative emotions if we don't choose to do that. So that's another thing that we can do immediately. On a daily basis, paying attention to diet, exercise, yoga, stretching, breathing, relaxing, and that we can fit in whenever we can. Just thinking of parking your car the furthest away from the store you're going to, instead of close, just to give yourself a little extra exercise. And then long-term, joining some kind of group or support group is very important, because it's very tough to stay on a healthy lifestyle if you don't feel you have support around. Take a yoga retreat. Take a health retreat. Take a vacation that's a real vacation, which is, you know, go to someplace where you can be supported in a healthy lifestyle as opposed to, you know, overeating or anything other overindulgence that people tend to do on vacations, and come back more tired than when they left.
And then you go home and rest up.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see if we can fit this one in here. Could an infection in my teeth affect my heart? My dentist believes I could end up with a bacterial infection in my heart if I don't have two teeth taken out.
Well, absolutely. There's a strong relationship of gum disease to heart disease, so we need to pay attention to not have a bunch of bacteria living in our gums that can get into our bloodstream, cause inflammation, and contribute to the possibility of heart disease.
So hearts that don't get well, could be a bacterial infection.
Oh, absolutely. So, yes, the teeth may have to come out, but I would certainly recommend trying to find a dentist who can do some kind of repair work that you don't end up without the teeth, because that's a little hard on the body too. So there are some newer techniques that they can actually save the root and put a crown on and create a new tooth for you and still help you not grow bacteria in your mouth. The problem is when those bacteria are in the bloodstream and going through the heart, they can seed into the arteries themselves, cause inflammation, and cause clotting, which can cause a heart attack.
That's a good bit of information there, Dr. Sandra. I'm saying let's try to get in one more. I have one more here. I'm a retired engineer on a second career that's less stressful. I'm an early education teacher. That's cute. My question, I've had two bypass surgeries and find that my mind doesn't seem to be as sharp as it always has been. Could this be connected with the surgeries? Is there anything that can be done to reverse the problem?
About 60% of people who have bypass surgery have memory loss for at least 6 months after their bypass. And that's a problem for a small percentage even after that. Most people recover from it. It is related, it's speculated to being on the heart-lung bypass machine, which damages some of the small elements of the blood, and as that circulates through the brain, there's some damage. But the body generally recovers from this, so it's exciting that you can do that. So I would recommend looking at the video on diet, which comes with the Rave Diet book, which you can buy at ravediet.com or from amazon.com. Get the DVD and have a look at it, because it's interviews with patients who started on this program, and they talk about how much better they feel and how that all of their various symptoms got better, including memory.
Well, we really appreciate your being here today, and we thank you for being our expert on heart health tonight. I'm certain that the participants who've had their questions answered were more than pleased with all of your help. So, Dr. Sandra, you are the author of Surgery and Its Alternatives, a book that I know very well and love. And would you like to tell our people how they can get that one?
You can get Surgery and Its Alternatives on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. You can order it from your local bookstore, or you can call 1-800-476-1347. So Surgery and Its Alternatives, and also Dr. Yoga, which has lots of stories in it. And, you know, I would just say finally that massage is really a great thing for heart disease. They did some research that showed that people have a higher chance of surviving a heart attack if they get massage, even then. So a person, a family member, can hold their hand and give them a little massage. That would be very helpful. And then prevention of future heart attacks or heart disease problems can really be helped by regular massage.
And you have a lot of other ideas in your book, Surgery and Its Alternatives.
Yes.
And so I wanted to let our people know that you will be a guest on an upcoming 4-module educational teleseminar, and there will be more about that online. And you and other guests are going to be talking about the heart in depth in an educational way. Although I'll tell you, we certainly learned a lot today.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me, Carol.
You're very welcome. And if you'd like to have a CD or a transcript of tonight's Heart Health Show with expert Dr. Sandra McClanahan, here's how you can order either one. You can go online at carolkepler.com or call 800-971-4458. Let me give you that number again. It is 800-971-4458, and you can order a CD or a beautiful transcript of all of tonight's information, either for yourself to help you remember or else to give to someone that couldn't make the show tonight. The next Ask the Experts event is scheduled again on the 4th Tuesday of June. Steve Tweeden, who is a pest control expert, will be with us, and he is a great presenter. He will be talking about a subject that we all need to know more about. He calls it Kill the Bugs, Kill the Weeds, Kill Your Family, Non-Toxic Solutions. And you can get your questions answered by Steve Tweeden by registering online. And so, again, thank you for joining us tonight. And this is your host, Carol Kepler, with blessings until we meet again.